All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm well fed. I had my snack. I had something to drink. I went potty.
Yeah.
I'm good to go. I'm ready to...
You're ready for everything that we're throwing out tonight?
I think so.
You know,
I mean, I have my wits about me.
Do you, though? Because...
I was thrown for a loop.
Yeah.
Should I tell you about it, or is there something you want to get to?
Tell me about it.
Well... Somebody put the toilet paper in the roll backwards in my bathroom. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a real problem.
But it's a big problem.
I'm just saying, right? I mean, you know, yes. I will concede there are people in the world with bigger problems than that. But not many.
Yeah. Look, yeah. Man, you just got to get on the bidet bandwagon, man.
I know. I got over it. I'm carrying on, and here we go. Yeah, I'm ready to rock.
Yeah.
I'm recovered. I'm rallying.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Next time you see them, you got to come up and be like...
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.
Oh, my God.
That is a quote from today's movie, Godzilla vs. Kong.
how hard did you have to work to get that 2-second clip?
Well, look, it wasn't difficult to get the clip. What was difficult was snipping it so that it wasn't like that it sounded okay. and that took about 15 minutes of my time.
What's the line? That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.
I think that should be our new opening.
Yeah, right? When he said it in the movie, I was like, is he talking to us?
I just assumed he was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get to Godzilla vs. Kong eventually, but that is in our repertoire now. It's loaded into the machine. With a simple press of a button, we can insult ourselves.
So, That's it. Thank God.
Yeah.
Are you having trouble keeping it straight? Like, sometimes I call it Godzilla vs. Kong. Sometimes I call it King Kong versus Godzilla. Sometimes I just call it Kong versus Godzilla. Sometimes I just call it Godzilla.
No, I have no problems.
You got it dialed in? Because I was on the radio this morning
with
our good friends at Fun 101.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's a pretty wide audience.
Yeah.
That's a big listener. And they called me out on it. They were like, Penn, you can't get this movie straight. We can't. And I was like, what? I was speechless.
You know what we need to do is the podcast. You and I, we got to call into them together and be like, what's up? Why aren't you interviewing us about our podcast? And then we can be like, if you want, you can call us on our show.
Yes.
And that's no, and give us the what's for, you know.
Now, listen, let me tell you something. I know you're joking. I know you're fooling around. But when I call into Fun 101, just for those folks who don't know this radio station, it used to be The Rose. Mm-hmm. Plays all soft rock. It's got a huge listener base. But I've been calling into them for, I want to say, 13 years. If it's not 13 years, it's like 12 years. Mm-hmm. Every single Monday morning.
Yeah.
And I've been calling in, and these two are like the Cal Ripken of radio. They are always, every single Monday. We did lay off in the height of the pandemic. We skipped quite a few weeks. But other than that, these two, every single Monday, and I'm every Monday. I mean, these guys are total rock stars, and they are so much fun, Dennis and Michelle. And they would totally fit in on the Penn Cinema podcast.
That's it. We got to do an exchange program.
Okay, we'll do an exchange program because they are professionals.
Right.
So they act on Fun 101 like mature, funny, relatable, but professional DJs.
Right.
Which is exactly what they are. But when I talk to them for a few minutes before we start our call, oh man, it's just like talking to you. We're making fun of each other, laughing, having a good time. It is a riot.
Yeah.
So yeah, they could fit in. We'll have to figure out how to do that because they would be such a hoot, Dennis and Michelle.
Yeah.
And they're the best. I just love them.
Sweet deal. Were you getting to get into some real news here?
Dig it.
Right. We're going to be talking about Godzilla versus Kong, or as Penn likes to call it, Kong versus Godzilla. Right. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But here's the big news. This movie, the director, right before the premiere last week, they were like, this just in, hot off the presses. Godzilla vs. Kong director Adam Wingard now directing Thundercats.
Thundercats, go!
Yeah. So, and they say it's going to be a mix between, it's not live action, but it's not quite cartoon, and it's going to bridge the gap.
Are we expecting that to be similar to Tom and Jerry?
Well, I think what they're saying is there's not going to be live action in it, but they might do all motion capture or something. I would expect it to be more like Cats. But with better cats, hopefully.
Right? So, Thundercats is like Cats, but I think Thundercats is going to be fun, so let's stop comparing it to Cats.
Well, just because, they're cat people. They're cat, you know. Well, what do you want from me, all right? Like,
okay, so you answered my question. That's fair enough. But we need to, between now and the next time we talk about this movie, we need to come up with a better way to describe
Cats.
What exactly is going to happen. But I know I heard that same announcement, and this director, he sounds totally jacked.
Yeah.
Like, he is psyched for this project. And that rubs off a little bit. Like, that makes me feel like this could work.
Now, who's your favorite Thundercat?
I don't know. I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No. Should I?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's the
best.
Who's
your favorite?
Panthro. Hoping that's actually a guy.
Willy Kit or Willy Cat?
Oh, you're looking it up straight up. No, man, Panthro, the gray one, who was like older and like had a, I think he had a, did he have a bow staff or, I don't know, he drove the tank.
Okay.
Look, I'm saying he's my favorite purely off of looks, and I can't remember anything about the show. So all I can really say is that every time we talked about Wonder Woman, I called the villain Chitara, and that's the girl from Thundercats, and not Cheetah, the girl from Wonder Woman.
So every time somebody refers to Thundercats, I immediately think of Juno.
Do they mention it in that movie?
You don't get that. Yeah.
No.
That's the whole reference. Like, you remember the movie Juno with Ellen Page starring as the pregnant adolescent, and one of my favorite movies. I mean, we love that movie in this house. But anyway, when she's further along and getting ready to give birth, that's the go word in the house. Like, when it's time to call the doctor and go to the hospital.
Thundercats go.
Thundercats go.
I love it. I forgot about that completely. It's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah.
That's such a good one. Oh, shoot. I was going to say something else about Thundercats. Oh, you know what this movie reminds me of?
What's that?
Speaking of cats, yeah. I'll stay in the feline genre.
Oh, really?
In the feline realm.
Okay.
You know what cartoon you never hear discussed that they're going to make into a movie?
What's that?
But I would immediately go.
Heathcliff.
Josie and the Pussycats.
No, they just made one.
What the hell are you talking about?
It was so bad.
No, they did not.
Oh, no, that was Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, my God,
but,
David.
But Josie and the Pussycats had a spinoff or something in the Riverdale show.
Okay, that's fine. You can talk about TV all you want, but there is no movie about Josie and the Pussycats.
Probably because Gem and the Holograms did so bad.
Who wants to make it big time? Yeah, I know. Okay, but that was a while ago. I mean, can't we get over the hologram thing? Or is that genre ruined now forever?
A hologram never forgets.
As evidence that I am not a hologram.
Yeah, that's how we know you're the real deal. Look, we got some news for you right out of DC this week. Right? This is probably do you have your tissues ready? You're probably gonna start tearing up.
Mm-hmm.
DC's The New Gods and The Trench are both canceled. But they've said, hey, look, we're not doing these movies right now, but if we change our minds, everyone we had on board to do these movies, we want to have them back to do these movies. Mm. So it's not the people, it's not the story, it's just we're not going in this direction anymore. Here's what I think. They kind of still want to distance themselves from the Snyder stuff and go another route, and they're laying in heavy on Shazam. So, you know, The New Gods is just a copy of The Immortals, basically. I mean, it's not. Look, don't come at me, comic nerds. I know they're different, but generally The Immortals and The New Gods are parallels. So Marvel's making The Immortals. They don't just want to copy them. Nobody wanted to see The Trench anyway because it was basically Aquaman 2, but not Aquaman 2. So just make Aquaman 2, you know? DC, get your shizzle whistle together, and maybe that's what they're doing.
I want to hear from the people that would come at you.
All right. Well, here's the deal. Instead of adding me at Penn aggressively about the difference between The New Gods and The Immortals and why they're not the same.
You want to know where I stand on this headline?
Where?
I thought that the name of the movie that's not happening was called New Gods and the Trench. Like, it's a New Gods franchise, and this particular episode is New Gods and the Trench.
Don't you remember? We reported on The Trench ages ago when Aquaman came out. It was the horror version. It was gonna
of course
be those,
I remember that. Those,
like, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Obviously.
A hologram never forgets, right?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, anyway.
Speaking of people coming at you for getting your facts incorrect.
Yeah.
Two things.
Okay.
First of all, and I know you still have a little bit to report on this headline, so I'm not trying to move off.
Okay.
But I have two things to get into real quick.
All right.
First of all, is it just me or is this Zack Snyder business snowballing and getting like out of control?
It's been out of control for ages. It's just now all those people that were pushing it, it's like, you know how when you're training a dog, right? And like, right? Like they give you the
podcast at PennCinema.com. Yeah.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.
Yeah. So when you're training a dog, right? You don't want it to eat from the table. And you're like, no, right. No begging. No.
Bad dog.
Yeah. But then one day you look over and it's got those puppy eyes and you're like, look, no begging, but right now, hey, here's a piece of bacon.
Here's a little something, something.
Yeah, under the table, right?
Yeah.
But only this once. It's not going to be an all-the-time thing. Well, you only do it once. That dog now knows it could wait 1,000 years, but it got rewarded once. It's going to get rewarded again. That is the Zack Snyder fan base.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my second part of my comment, which is continuation of the Zack Snyder question.
Okay. All right.
So we had a private party at the theater this weekend. Ooh. And I had the pleasure or perhaps the misfortune of engaging with the group who I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. It was a great group. They were fun guys. We had a great time, or I should say they had a great time, but it was all kinds of good stuff. They watched the 1989 Batman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mark. Yeah, yeah. Really cool bunch of guys. But you know when you sidle up to a conversation and then you immediately realize you're not qualified to be in that conversation?
It's called the Penn Cinema Podcast.
Yes, I know that feeling every week. Yeah. But I was kind of chit-chatting with them, and then one of them said something about, oh, the topic came up of you can do a bubble rental at Penn Cinema and watch, if you're an HBO Max subscriber, you can watch Zack Snyder's Justice League on the big screen. And it triggered some kind of nerve because two of the guys started talking about how they don't understand what all the fuss is because the original Justice League was perfect as it was. And then the other two guys wanted to let those two guys know it wasn't, you know. And then the first guy, and he was wearing an old school Batman t-shirt, and he looked like he was like he knew his business, and he started quoting all these things and talking about, you know, he made a joke about Aquaman recreating the What do you call those things at the bottom of the ocean, the coral reefs? Recreating the great coral reef by throwing off his wool sweaters. He's throwing so many sweaters in the ocean. He's recreating the coral reef. That was his big line he came back to a few times. And it was pretty intense.
Wow.
You ever been in the middle of that? Two guys?
Sometimes I'm one of those guys. But that gets intense. And you're just like... I just wanted to say a simple comment. I didn't mean to talk about this for 6 hours.
I just wanted
but
to
that's our life
thank you
now.
For coming out.
Yeah.
David, I will say, and I'm totally serious, during the conversation, I thought to myself, oh, first of all, I wish David was here. And second of all, I wish I could remember more of this conversation so I could tell David all about it. It was great. These guys were so into it, and I just love the passion of these guys. And this was similar to, I think, did we talk about this or did this happen after last week? Oh, no, we're going to talk about it today. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. I have some funny comments about audience reactions to Godzilla versus Kong.
Okay, cool.
But you're not done with DC.
No, DC, of course, never ending with stuff for us to talk about. You heard of all these cancellations of this one
unless
movie.
Unless the topic is really great movies.
Right. Well, you heard that this one movie that actually turns out to be two is getting canceled. So, newsflash.
Right. Right.
But don't worry.
Turns out to be two.
Yeah. Supergirl still go. They're not canceling Supergirl. So.
What do we know about Supergirl?
We know the actress who's playing her, and I can't even remember her name.
Okay.
But
sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Other people will know who she is. She is someone of note, but I don't remember her name.
I wish it was Awkwafina.
I wish it was too. Actually, I think that would be hilariously awesome. So, all right. Well, what can you hit me with?
Oh my God! Hang on a sec. Sasha Kali.
Okay.
Sasha Kali is DC's Supergirl. Huh. But that headline has her playing Supergirl in The Flash.
Yeah, I think that she makes a cameo in The Flash and then she'll have her own movie.
Oh, I love it. All right, now listen, I had an interesting week.
Okay.
This week was April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Right? We survived that. I did play a great joke on Drew. Now, as much as I like to fool around, I'm not a big April Fool's guy.
Right.
Like, I'm not good at that, you know, like, I don't know. People think up really creative and funny April Fool's jokes, and I try to, but I'm not really great at that. When the kids were little, I could get away with some of the old school obvious stuff, but I thought of the perfect one. So, you know, when Disney, I think I told you, when Disney canceled Luca,
yeah,
and decided that they were going to play their movie as a TV show.
Right.
Drew went around the theater. This is my man, who I love. He went around the theater, and he didn't just take down the Luca posters. Did I tell you this already?
Yeah, you did last week, but you can say it again.
Okay, he took down the Luca posters and tore them up and crumpled them and stepped on them and ripped them and made sure that they were in the trash, right? He violently discarded.
Yeah.
He was so mad at Disney, right? And I had a spare Luca poster in Ephrata, where I had just calmly taken down the Luca poster and put up Mortal Kombat. So what I did was I came in real early before Drew would get to work, and he has a movie poster behind him with the Minions, with Despicable Me on behind his desk, like a framed movie poster. So I put the Luca poster in frame, and I took down his Minions poster and put up the Luca poster. Which in and of itself was a great little gag, but what made it doubly funny is Drew was at work, I want to say at least 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, and he never noticed it.
What?
And he would walk in and out of his office. He would walk over to my desk. And then when he walks back to his desk from my desk, he's walking directly facing towards where the poster is hanging up. And I was sure every time he walked back to his desk, I would watch him walk back, like grinning on the edge of my seat, you know, waiting for him to notice and me yell, April Fool's. He never noticed. And then later in the morning, I had left and we were both on a Zoom call and with somebody else. And he texted me after the Zoom call with a picture of himself with Luca behind it. Cause I guess when he pulled up his camera and you know how the camera, he noticed that the poster behind him, he was like, what the? So that was good. But anyway, so that was April Fool's Day.
Right.
The phone rings. No, the phone doesn't ring. Joel comes up from downstairs with a sticky note and he says, Penn, the Daily Show called. And I'm like, oh, did they now?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go in it.
Happy birthday, Mr. Manager.
Happy birthday, Mr. Manager. Yeah, actually, big time.
Yeah.
So he comes up with a sticky note and says, you know, I just got the phone. This guy called from the Daily Show, wants to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, does he? All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. This ought to be good. So Joel hands me the number, and it's a New York City area code. So I'm like, well, that's weird. And then I started – I mean, I know people in New York, so I was like, oh, maybe it's like a friend of mine having fun with me. So me and Drew are debating whether or not it's a April Fool's Day joke. And Drew Googles the guy's name on the sticky note, and it turns out he's a producer from The Daily Show.
What?
So I'm like, all right, this might be real. So I'm like, whatever. I'm having a quiet morning. I'm doing desk work and junk. So I call the number, and it's The Daily Show.
What?
Yeah, the guy wants to come up and do a bit up here at Penn Cinema. And so off we go. He's coming up next Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about it?
It's a follow-up to, if you remember when former President Trump was in Lancaster County.
Uh-huh.
And so they're doing like a follow-up to that.
Okay. All right.
So it's not really about us, but they're making fun of Trump. So.
Right. All right.
So I was like, all right.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I'm on board. Oh, there's some of that liberal BS coming out,
I just
David.
Thought about that comment on iTunes.
I know. That's all right. That's all right. If you – I got – whether you're liberal or conservative or anywhere, we love you and we're glad you're listening.
Yeah.
But I will just say this. If you can't make fun of that guy, you're just not – you're not living, you know. I mean, we can make fun of Joe Biden, too. I mean, it goes, you know, we're like Saturday Night Live. We'll make fun of whoever is around.
I mean, he can't walk up the stairs, so, you know.
I know.
Whatever.
All right, now, I'll tell you another April Fool's joke that was less funny than that.
Okay. Let me hear it. Less funny, but more true?
Less funny, more true, and 1,000 times more annoying.
Okay.
I'm sorry, scratch that. That's inaccurate. I should be more specific. 10,000 times more annoying.
Whoa.
I hate to dip into the hyperbole, but this was incredibly annoying. Rian Johnson, the director, Rain Johnson.
Rain, yeah, Rain.
Rain Johnson.
Johansson.
Wasn't he your favorite?
He made my favorite Star Wars movies.
Right.
Yeah.
So your favorite director just closed a $450 deal. Oh, wait, no. $450 million deal.
Whoa!
To make two more Knives Out sequels for Netflix.
Yeah. Well, apparently, from what I was reading, that there was a small bidding war between the streaming services as to who would get it, which means he was not intending to take this to the theater.
Yeah. I think what this means to me is the streaming war is still fever pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, Netflix is paying out $450 million for two movies, and That's a lot of cannolis.
Riddle me this, though. I mean, $450, he could probably pay the man to get him back, but is Daniel Craig going to want to do straight to VOD videos?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
The money's right, I guess, huh?
All right, here's the over-under question.
Yeah.
What comes first? Knives Out 2 or No Time to Die?
Knives Out 3 comes out before No Time to Die.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Hey, look, more pushback news, and this one's one to break the bank.
No, I was okay with this one. You set it up, and I'll explain why. Yeah. I'm actually less plussed with this.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say, and I already agree. Mortal Kombat was pushed back 1 week to April 23rd. It was supposed to come out next week, right?
April 16th.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been pushed back 1 week to April 23rd. Pretty sure we all know, well, you and I know why, and it's because of Godzilla's performing well, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm okay with that. I mean, my thing, you know, and I had this conversation with Disney when I was yelling at them about making Luca into a TV show. If the decision has some underlying common sense to it, it might not be great for me, but at least I understand it. At least, you know, I would rather have Mortal Kombat on April 16th. There's no question about it. But I understand you have this massive, the biggest hit in a year and a half, mm-hmm. and you want to give it room to breathe. You don't, you know, why would you want to, like, you know, clip its wings on its third week of release, which, by the way, is so funny now that you have Warner Brothers pushing a theatrical window. Exactly what I always say on the show, what I've been saying on the show for 2 years now, which is that there's more money to be made at a theatrical release than there is on TV at home. And this is just the most perfect example ever. Like, yeah, obviously, even the third week out, it's a smarter move to, you know, get the money that you can from your theatrical release. So I wish Mortal Kombat was opening April 16th, but if I was a Warner Brothers executive, this decision would make perfect sense to me. So therefore, it's a bummer for me as an exhibitor. I'd rather have that big bump on April 16th, but I can wait a week, and I'll look forward to a big bump on April 23rd.
Right. Well, another aspect of this is we were talking about this way back when, and I believe I remember saying something along the lines of, like, we don't want these movie companies to come back and be so anxious for their to put their movies out. They just slam them all out, and then all of a sudden we have another long lull with nothing in it.
And, right.
And Warner Brothers is owning the theaters right now. I mean, they're the only ones consistently putting stuff out.
Right. Now, I'll sell it. There's a smaller movie coming out that we've talked about on this show before called Demon Slayer. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Not really.
It's like an animated Japanese type of thing. It was the number one blockbuster in Japan, set all kinds of Japanese box office records. And literally 6 months ago is when it broke all those records in Japan. And I emailed the studio. I like used all my connections to find out who was releasing the movie. And I got in touch with them. And I was like, look, I got IMAX screens. Let's do this. And they were like, oh, that would be great. Oh, wait. They screw around, fussing and fighting over details. Next thing you know, they decide, we're going to release this movie on April 23rd in IMAX and regular screens. Okay. So I hear this announcement from Warner Brothers, and I'm like, oh, well, obviously Demon Slayer is going to get pushed back, you know, because, you know, how stupid could you be? They're not pushing it back.
What?
So every single IMAX theater in the country has to choose between Mortal Kombat and Demon Slayer. Now, David, you're not a professional exhibitor, but you play one on TV. How hard of a decision is that?
Super easy.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to make a lot of money or no money.
Right. Right.
Look, that's the choice that you have.
The biggest movie in Japan, good or not, it's not going to go crazy like Mortal Kombat.
The biggest movie in Japan 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
It's not like it broke last week,
right?
Or next week,
right?
You know, this was months ago that it was the biggest movie in Japan.
And people who are into anime and stuff are used to acquiring their content in other fashions.
Atypical content acquisitions.
Yes, yes. They've probably already seen it.
They got the atypical content acquisition going. I guarantee they've already seen it. And I was shocked. They are sticking to their guns. And I wrote to the studio and I said, listen, there's a rumor going around that the first time I heard the rumor, which it wasn't a rumor, I had a Warner Brothers executive whisper it to me, and he just told me it wasn't official yet. But I immediately wrote to Funimation Studios and told them that I got a rumor that Mortal Kombat's getting pushed back a week, and if I have to choose between the two, I'm telling you that it's Combat. Anyway, a couple days later, we get this confirmation email from Funimation Studios telling us all the, you know, details about your upcoming IMAX release. I was like, all right, well, you know, whatever you want to believe, but I'm not playing it.
I just imagine upstairs, like, you've got all this extra space now with the new digital projectors. You've built, like, a tiny little office with a desk, and a Warner Brothers executive just sits in there and then with a phone. And when he gets the phone, he just goes, all right. He comes up. He walks to your office. He's shuffling really quick. He leans over. He's like... And then he walks out and goes back to his desk.
Oh, bro. You know what I was really good at when my kids were little?
What's that?
Fake whispering.
I mean, you got
like,
it.
I'd lean down close to your ear. And they thought it was hilarious. They burst out laughing every time. It was awesome. All right, that's enough of the news.
Yeah.
That's all the news we have today. We have six good trailers. I mean, every single one of them is good. Some of them are better than others. One of them is for a TV show, but I think it's worth talking about anyway. You might be surprised at my trailer of the week.
Really?
Yep. So let's start at the top with the Green Band Suicide Squad trailer. Last week we talked about Suicide Squad. We got the Suicide Squad Green Band trailer. Last week we watched the Red Band trailer, which was full of F-bombs and blood and guts and gore. Yeah. What did you think of this?
Well, first off, usually when they do Red and Green Band, it's just the Red Band with the stuff taken out. And
right.
This was pretty much a lot of new content.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good idea. I thought this was a great trailer. Still made me, like, pumped to see it. It had a little bit more of the story in it rather than the shock value stuff that the Red Band trailer had. Red Band trailer, I think, is better, but yeah.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you say that because I agree this is a good trailer, but when I watched a Red Band trailer, I was, like, jumping up and down psyched to see this movie.
Right.
You know, and when I watched this trailer, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That looks good.
Yeah. If you would have shown me this trailer first, I would have been like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch it anyway, so whatever.
Right.
But you showed me the Red Band trailer, and I'm like, maybe DC does know how to do something right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next trailer we have is Loki.
Okay.
Starring Owen Wilson and that other guy who plays Loki in all the Marvel movies.
Yeah, that other guy. Tom Hiddleston.
And Tom Hiddleston. And they apparently are working on with the Time Variance Authority.
Yeah. So, okay. First off, this is one of the new Disney Plus series, which, again, we've been over. You'll need to watch for the show, for the movies to follow continuity. This is the Loki. So Loki died in Endgame, or... One of the last two Avengers. I can't remember which one. And then they went back in time, and the Loki back in time took the Tesseract and teleported, thus creating a timeline variance. So he was out of time. And so the Time Police are basically like, well, you have to help us fix your problems. You made a bunch of problems. And I think this trailer... I was like, this could have been a movie. But I'm
thought it was.
I'm kind of glad it's not, because they're going to be able to get into a little bit more.
Yeah.
And
this looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm totally
I cannot wait. I wish if it was on tonight, I would stay up late and binge watch the whole entire thing.
Yeah, it looks so good. I'm pumped. But speaking of Marvel, the next trailer we have on our list is the Black Widow trailer. And this is what's crazy. Like, we've had a couple Black Widow trailers.
A couple?
Yeah. But the thing is, it's been the same one for about a year.
Right.
And that's the one you've been seeing at the theaters. And I think when we watched King Kong and Godzilla, that... I did that one naturally. That wasn't me busting on you. But when we watched the movie, it was the same old trailer with a new date on the end, which of course is wrong now because they changed it again.
Sidebar: all of the trailers now have wrong dates.
Yeah, but that one was updated to the last date, so because it just moved again. So
it's a less wrong date, but still wrong.
Right. So. This one was very much what I liked about this is that the other trailers were like, okay, we all know who Black Widow is. We all know who the Avengers are. Look at all the action. Look at all the stuff going on here, right? It's been so long. We've been in so long without a Marvel movie, and especially since Avengers with her, this trailer is very much like, hey, remember I was a spy, and then I was an Avenger, and then I was still an Avenger, and then I died. But this is, you know, it was kind of like, bringing you up to date on her story a little bit, very quickly, you know, just kind of alluding to things. So I like that. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I like the new trailer. And I just want to go back really quickly to the Loki trailer.
Yeah.
I think we already discussed all the great things about it. But one of the details that I loved was how they handled the, what do you call it, the font?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were taking letters from all the other Marvel characters' names, you know, and used them to create, you know, some of the words on the screen. I thought it was absolutely brilliant and really cool. The Black Widow trailer, I was watching this trailer and enjoying it, just like you said, and thinking to myself, oh, this is great. This is the final trailer. The movie's almost here. No, we got to get through all of April, all of May, all of June, and a couple weeks into July.
Yeah, I know.
That's annoying as hell.
Push it back again.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
All right, so the big trailer this week, the one that...
This is my trailer of the week, David. Yeah? Yeah, really. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Space Jam 2, or as I like to call it, Ready Player 1-2. Because that's what it is. It's an assault of pop culture to the brain. But that said, it doesn't look bad. It looks fun. I
think this movie looks amazing. I cannot wait. It comes out on July 16th. He puts together the Dream Team, and you got a cameo from the Iron Giant. King Kong was in there. King Kong was in there. All kinds of great comic characters. The grandma, you know, shoots a score and gets a senior discount. Tweety's, you know, old lady grandma. I don't know. Everything about this movie clicked all the right buttons. It's going to be rated PG. It's going to be a kids movie. Comes out in the middle of July. I thought this trailer was all but perfect.
Yeah, I think for what the movie it is and what it's going for and the audience it's really aimed at, it's pretty much a perfect trailer.
Yeah. Okay, the next trailer is Profile, which is a thriller from Focus Features. Comes out on May 14th. This is one of those movies, like, people who know the theater and know me will know what I mean when I say, I don't know whether this is a Theater One movie, like a small artsy thriller, you know, that, you know, some folks are going to enjoy, or if this is a Theater 10 movie, you know, like a Downton Abbey where it's a little classic and people are going to come in and pack it in. It's going to be a popular movie. I know that it's not a Theater 5 movie. Okay. This is not going to be the number one movie, but this is a thriller about a woman who goes, and it says it's based on the incredible true story, blah, 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 something like that. And it's about a woman who goes if I follow the plot correctly, which I rarely do from trailers, but if I'm following it correctly, I think that she is a journalist who goes undercover to try to tempt a legit terrorist from Al-Qaeda to she's trying to tempt them into recruiting her so that she can report on the recruiting process. And then I think it gets a little too real too quickly. And I also think, or at least the trailer alludes to, perhaps she starts falling in love with her target. There may be like some romance confusion, and it all comes to an insane, crazy, confused head at the end. This movie looks great. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. What I'm confused about is I don't know if people want to come out and see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It might be hitting a little too close to home, a little too intense. If there's anything in the movie that humanizes the terrorists, nobody comes out for those. So that's the movie. It's called Profile. It looks really interesting. I forget who the lead actress is, but she looks incredible in it. And it's from Focus Features, so you know it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch this trailer for this one, but I'm going to have to check it out after the show for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely, no matter what, watch the trailer Profile.
Yeah.
Our last trailer is actually my number two trailer. I actually really enjoyed this trailer. This is for Spirit. The full name of the movie is Spirit Untamed, and this is the sequel to the children's movie called Spirit, and it comes from DreamWorks, and it looks freaking adorable.
Yeah, this is another one where I was like, they know their audience, they've targeted it, and they've done a good job. Like, this does not look like a movie that a parent would hate to see with their child. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Although it's a little, it's not playing to the parents.
No.
Like Shrek does, but it's definitely like, it looks like it's a good enough movie. It looks inspiring. And there's a scene at the end where these three girls are plotting out how they're going to save the day. And the one girl says, "We must have the strength of 1,000 marshmallows." I just thought that's the greatest line I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to start like quoting that on the regular.
I love it. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, if you got a little girl, this is prime.
This is total girl power movie. But also, you know, I think there's some cowboys and there's some wild horses and there's some chasing horse scenes. So I think, you know, a little boy would definitely enjoy this film every bit as much as a little girl. Mm-hmm. And then getting back to the strength of 1,000 marshmallows.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big shot triathlete.
Yeah. I think I read about you in the book, Triathletes Are Us.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I've struggled for as long as I've been doing triathlons to adequately find the words to describe my greatest strength and, you know, how strong I am as an athlete. And I think this movie has helped me find those words. I do triathlons with the strength of 1,000 marshmallows.
Wow.
Hit the nail on the head there, buddy.
Bingo bongo. Okay.
All right. So, David, what's your trailer of the week?
My trailer of the week.
Loki.
It's got to be Loki. Yeah. If we have to stick with a movie, I think I might go with Suicide Squad. Look, Space Jam looks good. I see why it's your trailer of the week, but I did get a little bit overwhelmed by all the like colors and everything. I kind of zoned in the middle of it, to be honest.
I'm kind of a sucker for LeBron James.
Oh, he's cool. I like him.
He's a cool dude. Yeah.
Yeah. You ready to get into our movie review?
Please.
Godzilla versus Kong.
You almost said King Kong.
I almost said King Kong, but it's not.
I saw you leaning that way.
Kong. I almost fell out of my chair, honestly. Okay. First off. First movie we've seen together in over a year.
Mm.
We did it. Thanks, Obama.
We did it. It's so great to see you.
Yeah, it was amazing. I drove by and I was like, who are those people sitting out front? I didn't even know who you guys were. Turned out to be you.
There we were.
Yeah.
And, you know, how grateful were you to be able to enjoy my running commentary during the trailers?
It was like doing the show live. Back all the memories.
I'm not a talker. I don't talk during the movie, with some very, very rare exceptions. But I do enjoy a little quip before and after each trailer, because I feel like it's good to touch base on what did you think of that, and, you know, that looks interesting, that looks awful, whatever.
I agree. I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
So
okay, so how are we gonna get into this?
Oh my goodness. What do you think this movie's about? What happens in this movie, Penn? Spoilers. We're just gonna spoil it.
Forget about it. What is this movie about? It's about two friends who lose sight of their friendship and have a really big fight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're really mad at each other. And right while they're fighting, the one friend knocks out the other friend. And then they remember that actually they have a common enemy in technology.
Because they're old.
And it's our cell phones that have driven us apart.
Yeah,
that's true. The self-driving cars. Yeah. And so when they get attacked by the self-driving car, when the one friend gets threatened by the self-driving car, the other friend gets jumped by an old-fashioned car, right? Like,
yeah, literally.
They get the jumper cables. But what's interesting is the two friends team up to kill off the automatic car, the self-driving car. What's interesting is the self-driving car actually does not die until an unrelated friend, a kindred spirit, if you will, spills a recovering alcoholic's fifth of gin on a laptop, thereby causing the whole system to immediately stop.
Or something.
Does that capture it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, I mean, I don't want to say it, but like Orson Welles be all over this version of the script.
I don't know, David. What do you think this is about? I obviously have no clue what this movie was about, but I want to hear what you think it was about, but I will also say what everybody in America is thinking, which is, I don't know what that movie was about. I don't care what it was about. It was all kinds of fun, and it was great.
Well, as a National Geographic film, I think it does a good job of showing us exactly how animals are.
It's a documentary.
Yeah. You didn't know it was a documentary? Oh, my gosh. First off, I thought this movie was good. I very much enjoyed myself watching it. IMAX is the way to go for sure.
Yeah.
The monster battles are really cool. It has definite plot beats where it's like, Godzilla wouldn't stop here if he was a real monster, but he's going to because we need more movies, so he's going to swim away when Kong is unconscious on a boat and he could take him out. You know, it.
Yeah, there was a lot of problems like that. The whole fundamental problem is that Godzilla could just kill Kong in a heartbeat, like
right.
10 minutes into the movie.
And he doesn't, yeah.
Right, repeatedly doesn't.
I did like that it wasn't like Kong never really gets the upper hand. I mean, kind of, but there's no chance of him winning at any point in the movie. Like he's constantly knocked down to the point where he almost dies.
Right.
And you know, then we have Mechagodzilla get in the mix. And Mechagodzilla both looks awesome and incredibly goofy. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, because I kind of loved it, and I kind of thought it was really dumb. But I think I more loved how goofy he looked. He was too skinny. But whatever. Them fighting him, really cool. This movie tones down the human part from the last two. Both of the last two movies are longer, so So this one's a little shorter at 2 hours, which I think is perfect. I think it did just what it needed to do. They cut out a lot of the human stuff, but there's still some. I think my comment stands. It stands more now, like, than I thought about it, is 14-year-old David would have thought this was the best movie in the world.
That's exactly what you said to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of the movie.
Right. And I think that there's a lot of things in it. One, you got the giant monsters fighting, which would have been great. Two, their audience is definitely younger in general, but probably younger boys. I mean, even the female leads in it, like, they're made to appeal to a younger audience.
Millie Bobby Brown was amazing.
Yeah, she's great. And I had fun. I had a good time. I mean, this isn't going to, like, rate best in the world or anything to me, but I thought it was good. I thought the monster stuff was good. There's stuff that just doesn't make any sense, like how they have to find a way to the center of the earth, and then later Godzilla literally just uses his breath to breathe a hole all the way to the center of the earth, which is insane in the middle of Tokyo. And when it's over, they don't bring up the fact that there's a giant hole in the center of Tokyo anymore. They're just like, well, whatevs.
Let's start a new segment.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for best and worst.
Okay. It's the best and the worst.
The best and the worst of Kong versus King Godzilla. The best of this movie, which I would rate, like, legitimately one of the most exciting scenes that I've seen in a long time. The actions fight sequence, I guess, out on the water towards the beginning of the movie when Kong and Godzilla get into it, and they're not only fighting, but then they end up fighting underwater, and now they're above water, and now the ship got broken in half, and now there's this other problem, and it was absolutely wild, and it was so good. I was literally, you hear, like, it's like a transcendent moment. Like, you hear the expression, like, I was lost in the film.
Yeah.
Like, I was lost in the movie. I was not thinking about what was happening in the movie. I was not thinking about whether it looked real or whether it was good or who was winning or whether or not that made sense. I had completely shed all connections to my earthly reality, and I was out there in the ocean watching this incredible scene go down, and I thought that sequence was amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
That's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best part. And to me, it's worth, I mean, I think the whole thing is worth the price of admission, but that scene alone. Okay, so now the worst. I'm going to tell you my worst, but do you have a worst in mind?
I don't know if it's a scene. The whole podcast thing was really ridiculous to me, but...
That was a bad plot line, but my worst moment of the movie is when Mecha is about to kill the two of them, and they are able to stop Mecha by pouring a fifth of gin on top of the computer.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we can stop it because it's still connected to the satellites. Well, then they just dump water on the computer connected to the satellite. It's like,
right.
But Mechagodzilla doesn't really change its actions, but all of a sudden it's more defeatable.
I thought the whole thing, like, shorted out and died.
No, it's still moving. It's still fighting. But all of a sudden, it's just not doing enough. I guess it doesn't have enough brain power or something. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me.
It was dumb. That whole plot point was dumb. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, you know how I've complained, like, in war movies or action, like, chase movies. One of my pet peeves that you guys all know is I hate when 25 bad guys are shooting at the good guy and not one single one of them can hit him.
Yeah.
And then the good guy, with each shot, kills, you know, two or three bad guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a pet peeve. And this is what that movie was.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this podcast guy and the part that just never left me throughout the whole movie. He has a podcast about a popular podcast with 200 plus episodes of talking about these kaiju and the monsters and stuff, right? And on it, he doesn't alter his voice or anything. He's like, I'm going undercover. I've been working undercover. As I've been telling you, I'm undercover. I work at such and such plant in such and such place. I'm going in. Today's the day. I'm going to get the secret information, and I'm going to share it with you all. And then they show he's recording this in his car. He uploads it, closes it down, walks into the job. And I'm thinking, 200-plus episodes of a popular podcast, according to what they're telling us. You don't think this multinational company, no one's heard this at all, and no one's been like, who's this guy? He's not even hiding his voice. Like,
I don't know, David. That sounds pretty believable to me. I mean, we've been recording the Penn Cinema podcast for 2 years, and nobody's shut us down yet.
That's true. And I would guarantee if you went in, some of your employees would be like, there's a podcast?
Yeah.
So I guess it's possible.
It's easy for you to guarantee that because you've actually had that experience.
Yeah, exactly.
As have I.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm saying this movie was fun. If you like Godzilla, I think it's worth seeing. It's better than the last one because it's a little bit shorter and a little bit more concise.
I like when people say, oh, you have a podcast? What's it about? I was telling sports.
We want people to listen to the show. Don't scare them away.
Okay, right. So that's our movie review. Next week, we're going to watch Voyagers, Either that or Unholy, but I think we should watch Voyagers. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so next week, we're going to watch Voyagers. Looking forward to that. See how Johnny Depp's daughter does. And moving on now to listeners, news, notes, questions, and answers. We had two emails that stuck out to me. One of them shook my world, David.
Okay, fill me in.
So if you were to ask me what single book influenced your life the most, I would say it's a book that documents a series of interviews with incredible famed mythologist Joseph Campbell.
Yeah.
It's called The Power of Myth, and it's when he was interviewed by Bill Moyer, and I mean, the thing really dramatically shaped my worldview and how I see things and how I look at things. And our girl Frodo writes in and tells me, slow the roll there. Joseph Campbell operates with some bias, with what do you call that? Preferential bias or something, she called it, and is maybe a little bit problematic.
Ooh, girl.
Now, she, in fairness, I can see where she's coming from because she's reporting on this as if Joseph Campbell was a scholar, which he really is, but he also, I don't know. I guess what the way I read her note, I had never heard any of this before. And this was like shocking news to me. But after I digested it a little while, I thought to myself, I guess I could see that. And I don't think it changes his value to the discussion of mythology. You know, I think it's just a question of like, hey, he, you know, is a scholar in his own right. And, you know, his work, it doesn't take anything away from his work. But if you're going to start trying to scholarly analyze various religions, for example, then you might need to consider other sources as well.
Other sources? What?
Isn't that kind of what you took? Did you read that email? Yeah. Did you see the same one? Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, anyway, I really appreciated her writing that in. And it did shake me a little bit because my boy Joseph Campbell, I mean, he's right there. Joseph Campbell, just to give you some perspective, drew some links among some of my favorite things as a teenager, including mythology, Star Wars, Cowboys and Indians, and The Grateful Dead.
Whoa.
Can all four of those, you know, come together and are referenced at various points in The Power of Myth? And then as I grew up and understood some of the other themes that he was discussing, I mean, Joseph Campbell's the man. If you haven't read, you know, any of his work, please do. It's amazing. The other note we got was from the Mystery Gobble, who, by the way, I had the pleasure of dining with this week. It was great to see him in person. And he sent us a pretty funny story. So now, on account of the note he sent, I rank Bob Odenkirk above Daniel Craig in my toughness meter.
Did you read this article, Penn?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
You did not, or you did?
I did.
Did you get to the part where it was a joke?
No.
It was a bit. It was a bit.
Good night. Thank you, Jesus.
We do the gobble gobble. We do the turkey wobble. We do the gobble gobble. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Mystery oh gobble God. Got him. The mystery gobble got him.
The whole thing was a bit.
Yeah, he went on. He went. It was a bit, and the article was about how it was really funny. But then Jimmy Kimmel was like, just moved right past it. And he went on with all these like wounds. That picture is him with all these fake wounds and stuff. He's like, oh, I did. I'm older. I did my own. And if you read what he says actually happens, he lost a spleen and part of his and half of his hip was taken out.
See, that must have been later on. I didn't get down to that part. TLDR, I'm just saying.
Because I was reading it, and I'm like, Mystery Goblin knows this is a joke, right? Yeah, he sent this to it because he thought it was funny. Yeah, okay. All right, okay.
Mystery Goblin's way smarter than I am. That's old news. I didn't quite put together that it was a joke, so I withdraw my...
He may have done his own stunts, but the whole thing in the article was about how it was a bit on Jimmy Kimmel, and it was funny, but Jimmy Kimmel shut it down.
So Jimmy Kimmel sucks.
I guess that's what they were getting at. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Now I feel like a dope.
What?
I'm all embarrassed on my own show.
What? Don't be embarrassed by this. Wait till I say something that'll embarrass you.
You've said far stupider things, Ben.
Yeah, come on.
This isn't the stupidest thing you've ever done.
This shouldn't break the camel's back. Come on.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, even though I didn't quite get the joke, thank you for writing that in. And thanks for everyone else who wrote in. And so, David.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you watching and reading?
What am I watching? What am I reading? What am I doing? What's my life like? Let me tell you what.
That's the full name of this segment. We've never revealed that before.
Yeah. First time.
What's your life like?
What's your life like? It's true. You know, is a busy week, but I came back from vacation and it was like boom, 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 boom. So. Got a lot to do, got a lot done. It was pretty good. Easter weekend. Mm. Introduced my mom to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is something that you should totally watch.
Love it.
But that what I want to report on is I checked out a new show on Amazon Prime. And if you
called
look,
Invincible?
Invincible. Yeah. And if you
talked
look
about
it,
this last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
No. Well, whatever, man. I watched more of it and it was good. It's not. It looks like you're like, oh, it's a Superman knockoff. It's not. You should watch it, but it's not. Don't watch it with your kids, because it seems like it's going to be a nice, nice thing, and then people's heads get smashed. So I'm just saying, it gets a little violent.
I remember that you talked about it last week, only because now that it's like when you learn a new word and then you hear that word everywhere, yeah. Like. You talked about that show. Now, every time I get on Amazon Prime, I see an ad for Invincible, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's the show David loves. I got to watch that. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Invincible, it's still good. Newsflash. I still like it.
Are you keeping up with Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
I am. And it's here's the difference between the Falcon and the Winter Soldier and if you want to compare it to WandaVision. Every episode of WandaVision – people were talking about what was going on because it was such a big mystery. And it was like every episode was like something crazy happening. Falcon and the Winter Soldier is more like the movies. It's like I'm enjoying every episode, I think, more than WandaVision, but there's not as much to talk about post show because it's pretty straight. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward, but
gotcha.
I think it's a better show.
Okay. Well, I watched a movie that was pretty stunning, and on the one hand, I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. It's called Seaspiracy, which is by the same guy. I think his name's Kip something. Same guy that did Cowspiracy. And this is a environmentalist. I don't quite know what to call him, but it's a pretty disturbing look at the impact of fishing on our environment, on climate change, and on really on everything. And I can't even put into words how broadly the fishing industry affects our. I can't tell if this is a movie about climate change. It is. It's a movie about climate change, period. But there's also a really interesting angle on human rights and social justice and vegans and sort of the whole nine yards. It's a fascinating movie to really make you think twice about eating fish. The other thing that I am like losing a lot of time to, YouTube.
Welcome to my world, boy.
Oh my God. When I'm like, just have an hour or 20 minutes or whatever to space out for a little bit and shut it down. And like what you would traditionally call, what you would traditionally refer to as flipping through the channels. I just go to YouTube. Sometimes I watch Grateful Dead concerts. Sometimes I watch old triathlons. Sometimes I watch environmental stuff. Sometimes I watch fail videos. Like it just goes on endlessly.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Once you get into it and you subscribe to people, then you've got people you follow and you watch all their videos. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I haven't had TV for years, like TV channels. I currently have cable included with my package because it was cheaper for the internet I wanted. But I don't have the cable box hooked up because I just watch YouTube and streaming services. I don't need TV. You know?
What do That's you wild.
It's crazy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole new world.
So let me tell you, I didn't watch this, but it's like I watched it. My mom, Shady Lady, she wrote in a little while ago, a long time ago, about some Concrete Cowboy movie that she said we should check out about, I don't know, some sort of cowboys in Philadelphia. I didn't watch the movie, but she told me about it because she watched it, and it was like I watched it. So kind of works that I watched it, I guess. What? So because I heard all about it for like an hour and a half about all the things, about the accents and the actors and the goings-ons. Don't tell her, but I couldn't remember what the actual plot was of this movie. But she's like, yeah, can you believe that it was like the people who really lived through it? And I'm like, well, what did they live? Whatever. I know they had horses and they were in Philly. That's the gist.
David, I could rewind this tape 30 seconds.
Yeah.
45 seconds and play that 45 segment clip over 100 times and I would still have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? See? Welcome to my afternoon, Easter afternoon at my mother's. I didn't fail at explaining it. That's how it was explained.
Excuse me, sir. I explained it perfectly. Yeah. Now you know.
Yeah, I think you understand.
So, oh my God, that's great. That's freaking brilliant.
All right, well, next week we're going to be watching Voyagers. So if you want to tell us what you thought about Godzilla vs. Kong or Kong vs. Godzilla, whichever one you saw, let us know. Send us an email. Tell us whatever you want. podcast@penncinema.com. That's the number one way to get in touch with us. Now, if you want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that, Penn?
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of, you know, the traditional method is to tell a friend.
Right.
Easy. But you know where you go to find all the cool kids nowadays?
Where's that?
Everybody knows this. You go to the public library.
I mean, that place is bouncing.
Right, it's hopping, man. You can hear that shit from down the street. Right? So here's what a lot of people are doing lately. This is, I mean, whatever, you know, but I'm just telling you what the cool kids are doing. If you think you're up to it. What they're doing is they're buying themselves, they're stopping at CVS on the way to the library.
Okay.
And they're buying themselves a stack of index cards. And then they're writing on the index card, watch or listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah.
And then what they're doing while they're chilling at the library they go down the stacks alphabetically.
Oh.
Till they get to the PCPCs.
Oh, wow.
And then they pull out every book that starts with a letter P or a letter C, and they slide an index card so that I thanks for that sound effect. So that as the unsuspecting reader in the future, because what happens is when people go to the library, they get busy reading. We don't want them reading. We want them listening.
Yeah, you got to be listening.
We're all about the listening.
Yeah.
So while they're sitting there trying to read their book, all of a sudden they turn to page 13. There it is. And they're like, "Ooh, you know what I could be doing instead of reading this dumb book? I could be listening to the Penn Cinema podcast."
That's right.
Yeah. So that's what all the cool kids are doing.
Wow. Those kids are so cool. I never knew.
I know.
Thanks for letting me know.
You know, they're rocking down at the public library. Do they even have public libraries anymore? Is that a thing?
I mean, yeah, they have to. They're around.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the public needs the library.
Why?
Resources.
Okay.
And stuff, I guess.
All right, now listen. Anybody who listens to this show who knows my mom, the librarian, the retired librarian, don't tell her that we were making fun of libraries.
You know what your mom would have to say if she heard this?
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.
If you see Grandma Robin, just don't mention anything about it.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us for the Penn Cinema Podcast. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cat.